In the very early stages, the cops came to my house and accused me of selling drugs. They took me to their car and they like opened the trunk and they showed me seized PCP and Molly. And they're like, "Are you selling this?" I'm like, "No." Like, "Are you selling this, Heisenberg?" And I'm like, "No." Like, literally just selling water pipes.
High-Rise Podcast, always pushing. We're here today with our guest, owner of the Daily High Club, Harrison Baum. What's up, G?
What's good, guys? Happy to be here.
Welcome to the pod, our first official guest. We got Harrison. Harrison, for those of you that don't know, owns, or I guess I should say owned, right? Daily High Club, one of the most well-known, successful subscription boxes for cannabis product, or I guess what? Cannabis accessories.
Like
glass and pipes and bongs and all that fun stuff to consume your weed. So yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And what? Okay, you're allowed to talk about the High Tide shit
in
general. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Harrison, we don't have to go through like the whole story. Maybe it'll like come up in the conversation. But Harrison started his brand how many years ago?
Six
years ago out of his garage, $700, and just sold it to a publicly traded company for eight figures.
Yeah.
So first, what are you spending all your money on, dude?
More money. That's the goal.
You're just spending it on crypto or what?
Yeah, I got some crypto. I got a Tesla. I want to do real estate. But 2/3 of it's in stock that's like locked up for like another month. And then like the rest of it's like dispersed over 2 years. So like I'm still like kind of invested in it. So it's not like I'm like outspending anything now. I'm still like trying to save and like I'm going to get a fucking crazy ass tax bill. So like, we'll see. Maybe one day future businesses or other businesses that I'll invest in or think are cool.
What's it been like going through all this? Obviously, did you ever think this was going to be something like you were going to sell to a publicly traded company? Was that a goal of yours or is that just something that, you know, a few years in, you're like, this is a possibility?
Yeah, it's always been a goal to sell the company since the beginning. Like one day either sell it or get into like make a cannabis subscription. And I realized I couldn't do a cannabis subscription on my own. Like Ease raised like $150 million or something and like spent it all. And like the amount of money I'd have to raise to do it, I'd have to give away the whole company anyway. So I figured it would be good to work with High Tide. They bought 3 out of the 5 biggest online head shops. And it would just be the best move for the company instead of competing with them to join them and kind of make this super head shop and hopefully get into weed that way. So, and they have over 100 dispensaries in Canada.
Mm. Yeah, I think you like timed it like pretty well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like built it up, got all this hype, and then like right before it goes legal and all these people start putting all this money into it, all this shit starts popping up, you're like, I'm out, boom.
Yeah.
And it's also a good play with High Tide because they have other very similar businesses, right? So they're kind of getting that monopoly on all the like online head shops, like more or less. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty killer. So like when did you like you started 6 years ago, like what? You just saved up $500, $700 and you're like, I'm going to fucking start selling bongs? Or like, what was that? How did it all start?
Yeah. So, I was at Vistaprint working in the subscription division and, it originally kind of planted the seed in my head. There was a, on Reddit, there was a guide. There were two guides, one starting an online head shop and one starting a subscription box. And I was doing some research and looking for businesses to start. And I saw some other like cannabis subscription boxes out there and was like, holy shit, I could do this for a dollar and came up with the idea for Dollar High Club. So I put the idea on Reddit. I got my first 300 subscribers overnight. I walked out of my day job. I sold out of all the supplies immediately. There was another company that was like super not happy with the name Dollar
High
Club.
What do you mean by Dollar High Club? So what did you sell and offer for a dollar?
Yeah, so you get, it comes in a little subscription envelope and it comes with a pack of rolling papers, a pack of matches with a joke on it, hemp wick, and filter tips, and enough to smoke a J a day. So theoretically, you could smoke a J a day for the rest of your life for a dollar a month and never have to worry about it again.
Yeah.
So, and then I realized a company came after us because they didn't like the name and we had to change the name.
Right.
And then I realized it was a terrible idea to sell shit for
$1. I was going to say, like, do you make any money? Like, how did you know what I mean? Like, what are your margins on that? Like, fucking so 1 cent?
Pretty much. We also had a $12 and a $30 pack from the beginning, and the $12 was... interestingly, the $12 dominated the sales.
Really?
And then maybe like a few months in, the $30, it switched to that one dominating it, and then it never went back. So the $30 one is over 90% of the sales.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. So then like overnight, you sold 300, you said? You got 300 subscriptions overnight? So you started picking up some buzz on Reddit.
Yeah, about
just
like...
just because of the kind of like clever virality of the name or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
About 280 subscriptions overnight.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mostly on the $12 and $30 package. And it was really crazy because I was just like, hey guys, what do you think of this idea? Come check it out. And people in the community were like really warm to it and really excited to check it out and give it a try. And I was there like answering every like question that anyone had. And I was just like, holy shit, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
So it was a really good way to get my foot in the door without like having to spend a lot of money because I kind of proved the concept. I bought $700 worth of shit, like overnight it turned into $4,000 worth of orders. Which definitely was not enough to survive, but I was just like, fuck it. Like,
it's a great start.
Yeah, this is my chance in life to do something other than work fucking minimum wage customer service.
So. Yeah, no, for real.
So is that something, were you like active in the Reddit community?
Is that something I wouldn't say I was like super active in it. I would like read stuff, but I wouldn't like post that much. Like every now and then I leave a comment like Snoop, pay attention to me or something, but like yeah, not really, but like I would comment on stuff occasionally, but I wasn't like the most active user ever, but I did like understand the community. Like I knew like all the stoner lingo because I was like one of those people who would like look at dumb memes and stuff all day, and like I really felt like I was in it.
Yeah. So how long were you running it as Dollar High Club before it changed to Daily High Club?
Like a year and a half.
Oh, wow. So for a minute you're running it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then so by the time you changed it, you already had built up like a subscription base, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And we changed the name and I was like super worried, but it turned out to be fine. We didn't lose any sales at all. Nothing slowed down. Nothing changed. Everyone was down with it. Everyone thought it was like a better name, except Custom Grow 420. He didn't think it was a better name, but like pretty much everyone thought it was a better name. And it worked out well.
At that point, did you know that the $30 box was going to be your thing? Was at that point.
It was just like pretty clear too. It was pretty clear, but I still thought there was an opportunity for a dollar one that was not fully like tapped. Cause I feel like I never really got to give it a chance, but, yeah.
So like with Daily High Club, like when was it you're like, all right, this is like working? Like when did you start like hiring people and like getting an office, and like when did things like kind of start escalating for like that side of things?
Yeah, I mean pretty much immediately, because it was like I couldn't pack 300 boxes of 10 to 15 things myself. So this guy was helping me out, and that I met at a normal event in DC. And people from the community were so excited about the idea that they would just come by and help for free. Once an old folks home came by and was packing boxes, once a fraternity came by, and I realized I was super grateful for the free work, but they all were not great. Like
right.
20% of the boxes were missing things.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh shit, like I actually need to like kind of get organized. And I hired someone through someone I met at the normal event in like maybe early December, late November. And he was a glassblower and like knew a lot about this and how to like did a really good job packaging all the glass and like kind of moved on to like leading the other packers. That's when it kind of started like growing a little more legit. And then after like... let's see, it was like middle of 2016, so maybe like a year and a half ish we got the warehouse. I was definitely in the garage for a while. Like the first like 2 years I didn't really know how to grow it.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of,
and you're just
like
in the garage packing the orders, shipping it, just doing everything. Just figuring it out.
But the first few months I was just like doing fucking every part. Like I was packing shit, I was doing the website, I was doing customer service. Like
Yeah, I think that's like so important, like as a CEO or an owner, is like being able to do every single job in the company, or or maybe not doing it, but understanding it. You know what I mean? Like, it's so important, like even being able to print the labels and ship the orders and like just knowing all the little things that go into it. Like, I think that's like super important for sure.
Having realistic expectations of your employees.
And,
because
how long it takes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This was all in DC. Where was this?
So it started in Bethesda, Maryland, but it was formed in DC because cannabis was legalized in DC in, I think, 2014 to like have, and the cops were like pretty pro weed, which was really interesting.
Super decriminalized, right? It was like decriminalized in DC a while ago, right?
Or not even, it was like different than decriminalized. It was actually legal to grow up to 8 plants and to have, to actually like have weed. And I think you could like trade it to people for stuff.
Just like no sales. Just
no sales.
Yeah. Interesting.
So like, I feel like you guys have always been good with your online marketing, with like, you know, collabing with different influencers and using Instagram, and just, you guys have always been like very active and like always done a good job with that. Like, how important was that? And like, how vital was that? And like the growth of the company?
Yeah, it was super vital. Just like being in touch with the community through like humor and influencers and memes and any way we could get in touch with the cannabis community, because that's really what built us.
Guys really like doubled down on like going into the community and like working with all the right influencers and stuff like that. Like, when did that start? Was that like at the warehouse, after, before?
No, that was before. I feel like the influencers, like if they knew how ghetto our operation was, they never would have actually worked with us. But I originally was reaching out to influencers like crazy. No one would answer me, fucking writing letters to Tommy Chong, doing all this like absolutely futile shit. That, and eventually I got hold of our first influencer. I can't remember who was first, but they were both like at the same time. One of them was called Third High Productions. And
we know their YouTube channel.
Yeah. So he had 300 subscribers and now he's got like 300,000.
Is that Edwin?
No. Edwin. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Edwin Sparks. Okay.
So that was fucking crazy, cause it was just like, I saw him start from nothing at the same time. And also like,
I think we met with Edwin when he had like 8,000.
No, Edwin 5, used to, when we did Mac Dizzle's Meltdown in freaking 2016, Edwin used to, enter all the user submitted contests or whatever. Like, he'd always send in his bong rips and shit like that to like try to win the contest from us. And now he's an influencer and he's, you know, make literally living off of it.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Actually, I don't think he was even like at 300 subscribers. I think he bought the box and was making videos. But Allie in Weedyland was the first person, and then she did a live stream or something with Silence Tippy, them together. And then Silence Hippie eventually was doing our stuff. And that was enough to like show other influencers that we were legit.
Yeah, it's like once you get that kind of bigger name, they all kind of fall in line or whatever. Yeah.
And then like Custom Grow 420 was really big for us for a while.
I mean, yeah, Custom Grow and Sasha are two of the original, probably like 5 YouTube influencers or WeedTubers or whatever you want to call
Strange
it.
Strange Central, he's one of the OGs.
Yeah, Josh, for sure. Them, Haley 420. Those are the people that we saw, you know, Aaron scouring our YouTube back in the day looking for weed content. Like, those are the only people that were creating content back then.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But that's cool. Those are the people that like inspired us to start our channel, and those are the people that like actually got in contact with to collab with. So that was the early days, you know, like early days in the community when there wasn't influencer wasn't even a thing. It was just kind of them, and it was before the term influencer was, you know, it was like not even YouTuber.
Actually, you know what our first paid deal might have been? I think it was someone named Shoe Nice. Have you heard of Shoe Nice?
Shoe Nice. Like, sounds kind of familiar.
He's the guy who will like down a whole bottle of vodka and like eat just like ridiculous shit. And he like ate a Daily High Club pack and then like kind of stole my money.
Wait, ate a Daily High Club pack of what?
Like the dollar pack. He just like ate the whole thing.
He ate like
the
paper.
Like, on fire and ate it. Yeah. And then he had to like take the video down because like some brand shirt that he was wearing like didn't want to be in a weed video, and then he just like ghosted me and took my $300, I guess.
So how about that? How's that been working with influencers? And you know, has it been pretty smooth in terms of most of them getting the content out and paying them to promote, or have you?
It has not been very smooth. with some people it is like this like, for example, like Be Real has been really great to work with.
Professional.
Yeah.
Oh, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. He's like, he, like, it's a businessman and like is professional. And there's like other people who like, there's one guy, I won't say who, just like straight up took our money and was like, bro, I'm so sorry. I was like super high when I signed the contract. Like, can you like do it for like way more money? And we're just like, no. And like, yeah. So like shit like that happens like more than you'd think. But most people are like pretty like honest, good people who are easy to work with. But there's like definitely a higher, there's like a fairly high percentage, maybe like 10 or 20% of people will just like completely screw up everything you're doing.
Yeah, we've definitely had some interesting stories on our end as well.
Yeah. Influencers. I'm sure you guys have been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what was like some other ways, like obviously influencer marketing, social media, like I know you were like kind of big on doing like the SEO type stuff, right? Some of the keywords and search engine stuff, like talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we had a really great SEO team. So we were number one on Google for Bong and Dabrig for over 2 years.
So many hits were you getting a day just off that?
I'm not sure, actually.
I feel probably like a lot, right?
But yeah, like a lot. Insane. Definitely a lot. And then High Tide bought three of my biggest competitors and combined them, and they were all cross-linked together, and then it was like, would be pretty hard to compete with that on Google.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for a while we were leading that, and we're still leading it as far as the most Instagram, like followers and engagement. So yeah, SEO was pretty important. Definitely like, I guess a tip for people kind of like listening or watching whatever, but I've been screwed over by a pretty good amount of SEO people until I found the right people. And like one thing I learned is if they have like a secret method or whatever, they don't want to tell you what they're doing, they're probably doing some shady shit. So like
right, because there's ways where you can get Google to blacklist you if you're like posting too much shit or flooding it, or you think certain like techniques, like Google will straight like fucking not even make you show up. Like
we've seen titans fall from that.
Yeah,
like, leaders in the industry just go like fucking out of business because of that shit.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's not worth it. It works in the short term, but it's not worth it in the long run.
Right.
But like, yeah, our SEO team now is really great. They're like very transparent. They give us reports about everything. Yeah. Shout out AFI Consulting. Pretty great.
Gang. Yeah. Hell yeah. So like, okay, obviously you have a bot, you're selling bonds on the internet. There's gotta be some problems that arise with that, right? So like, tell us about some of that. Like, what's been some of the hard things like in the kind of early stages growing it? Like,
yeah. In the very early stages, the cops came to my house and accused me of selling drugs. And
they just like out of the blue just showed up at your house one day.
Yeah, they just knocked on the door and everyone just like fucking ran in the garage. And I'm like, okay, I guess I have to fucking deal with this. So like, I went up there and like they took me to their car and they like opened the trunk and they showed me seized PCP and Molly. And they're like, are you selling this? I'm like, no. Like, are you selling this Heisenberg? And I'm like, no, I'm, like literally just selling water pipes. They're like, for what? For tobacco use only. Like,
yeah.
Just kind of saying the shit I had to say. And eventually they like just like, you got to get these fucking business. Or they didn't say fucking, but I heard that in my head like that. They're just like, you got to get these business licenses. And like, yeah, they were kind of just like, give me shit. And they showed me this shovel they had. They're like, do you know why I have this shovel? I'm like, no. He's like, I won this shovel for being like the best cop in Maryland or something. And I was like, great, like cool.
Tight.
Yeah,
shovel, dude.
So yeah, and then we kind of got worried and got out of that house.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I wasn't doing what they were accusing me of, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Running a business out of your garage.
We had some issues with our neighbors at our old house. They thought, I don't even know what they thought we were doing, but yeah, we started having people showing up at our house, like trying to do inspections and like all this shit. And we're like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like,
yeah,
just assume we're doing something illegal or something, whatever. But yeah, so I could feel your pain on that.
Yeah.
So like, what about with just like, in terms of like marketing it, I know with glass, you like can't show people smoking, you know what I mean? There's all these like legalities and regulations. Like, how did that factor into like, when you're like coming up with a strategy to market it? Like, you know what I mean? You have all these things you can't do. Like, so.
Yeah. Like, we can't use like Facebook ads or paid Instagram ads. And like, we've gotten our page deleted a bunch of times and it's like been super fucking scary to get it back. No problem since we've been verified a couple years ago. But before that, it was definitely like really shitty. The first time it got deleted, I was on the way to something called ArcView in Chicago to raise money for the company. And I ended up not having to raise money, but I thought I had to, and I did the pitch, and like while I was on the plane, I got off the plane and the Instagram was deleted. And I'm like, fuck, I need to raise money for this company that doesn't even fucking exist on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
And
the
then
worst timing,
the second time was on the plane when my parents were coming to visit. So like they came out here and I was like, I got to fucking like get to work on this and get our Instagram back. Like we have like 20 employees who are like relying on me to do this. And it's just like, so I feel like it might've been like a targeted attack.
Yeah.
But like, cause I posted both of those things on Instagram stupidly enough. But like now I have two phones and, the Daily High Club Instagram two-factor is on a phone that's not in my name. It's like someone I trust really closely. Mm-hmm. And that way it's much harder for someone to hack me. Or if like one account gets deleted, then both won't get deleted. So.
Yeah, no, that's smart. That it can't search up your name and go after all your shit.
That was before you were verified that all that shit went down with you getting deleted. And since you've been verified, it's like pretty mellow.
It's been fine, but we haven't like tested the limits that much. Like,
yeah. So I noticed about a year ago you started putting your face out there more and with like TikToks and the reels and shit like that. Like how has that affected the brand? You feel like that's been kind of like you've been getting more support because it's like you're the owner and you're putting your face out there?
A little bit. Like it's interesting. I feel like people don't within the brands don't really like know who I am, like to the extent of like Josh from Raw, he's like got his face on there like every fucking day, which is great. That's like really smart. But I just like he's not the CEO, and like I had to be the CEO, and I just didn't have time. But like it is great what he's doing. And like at one point I was like, should I just like step aside and just be the face of it all day? But every time I tried to, just like crazy shit would come up and like. Yeah, like we were so close to going out of business so many times. Like people like really don't realize how close we were.
How close were you? Like, how many times?
Go on.
Yeah, please tell.
Like there's one time where this company, we paid them for a bunch of stuff. It didn't come in and the stuff that did come in was completely wrong. And I basically like... they were like no refunds and like we already paid them and I was like fuck, we can't afford to like buy more shit, so I did like take out like $70,000 on like a personal credit card and like put myself like 70k in debt to like buy all this shit again and hope that like we can sell it all, and we did, and yeah, but it was pretty terrifying. There's like a like serial fraud, like credit card fraud, and it like got fucked up like on our technical side and refunded $200,000 worth of orders that we already shipped out. And it was like, okay, now we don't have money or the product. Yeah. And we're just like, fuck, what do we do? It was just
that was like a glitch or something with your processor or something.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Basically it was like holding the transactions for review, but we didn't know that. So after 5 days it returned all the money.
Yeah.
So it returned 200K and, yeah, it was like, holy fuck, what am I gonna do? Like, just gave out 200K free shit, and like then COVID happened and sales blew
up.
Wait,
so what did you do? Did you like, did they correct that or did you have to rebill everyone or like what happened?
We tried to rebill people, but only like 20% of them went through.
Yeah, right. They're like, I got my free shit, thank you.
Yeah.
Couldn't you technically like sue the fucking shit out of that credit card company though? Like that's a pretty big like mistake.
Yeah, know? Six like, figures. Like
yeah. We kind of worked something out with them.
Yeah.
Or they like really helped us to like, like at the time we were just like, we just need this fucking fixed.
Yeah.
But then COVID hit and like 200K wasn't even that much compared to how much we were doing after that. So like,
oh, did COVID just completely spike your sales? Was that like one of the best things that's happened? So when did you guys move out to LA?
We moved out to LA in end of 2017.
Okay.
Like so I first started coming out in like August, 2017.
And you were in that Desmond building with Green Street. Is that where you guys were?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So what was that moving to LA? Like, I'm sure that was a whole new kind of like world, right?
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I'd never been west of West Virginia before I came to LA. So it was just like,
which is like still on the East Coast.
Yeah. So it was like, a huge shock, like culturally, like I'd just never seen anything but the DC area. So to see like so much culture and like not everyone wearing fucking just like blazers and suits and stuff and like vibrant art and music. It was just like, it was really cool. It just like blew my mind.
Was it primarily to grow the business or was it for other reasons or what, like what was the reason to moving on here?
Yeah. So, I was invited to Tommy Chong's house. So I flew out to LA and I met Tommy and was shooting with him and stuff. And I called home and I'm just like, pack up my shit. I'm staying.
Yeah.
Like every day I'm back in DC is a waste of time. Like right. I need to be here. This is where the cannabis industry is.
Like, were you working with Tommy at that time or did you have like a relationship with him and his team or?
We just started to work with him.
Okay.
And yeah, we shared an office with him for about a year and a half. So that was really cool.
And that was the Desmond building or no?
It was in the Desmond building.
Okay. Yeah. It was like downstairs.
Yeah.
So that was the first office you guys worked out of in LA was the Desmond.
We had a warehouse too in LA.
Oh, okay, nice. So that was like office in the warehouse for fulfillment and shipping and stuff like that. Got it. And how was that, the Desmond building? Because Green Street was in there, High Times. Wasn't there a couple other weed companies in there as well?
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Did that kind of like help like introduce you to a lot of like new people and stuff?
It was fucking awesome. I miss those days. Like after COVID, the kind of deal with Tommy and stuff kind of fell apart and I haven't seen him since COVID. But he was great to work with. And, we like all sorts of like crazy celebrities and stuff would come by to visit, like everyone from like weird TikTok celebrities and stuff, to like, Craig Robinson and Jay and Silent Bob and like, yeah, definitely some legends that I got to meet, which was really cool. And yeah, now I'm working in Long Beach, but we're looking at like potentially getting a place in the new Green Street building. So yeah, I heard you guys are going to be there too.
Yeah. You guys definitely should.
Yeah.
That'd be killer. Yeah. They did the little soft opening like 2 weeks ago or something. So I think they're going to like slowly get it opened up here in the next couple months.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That'll be super exciting. That's like the Desmond building. That's like, we used to go there all the time when they did the magic hours and like, dude, we accredit them for like, that's how we met so many people in the industry was just by going to those magic hour parties at Green Street and just mingling and meeting all the, you know, different people doing things. And yeah, it's pretty rad.
Yeah. Like the networking at cannabis events is, it's insane because it's so small right now. You know, you go to cannabis events, you're going to go to another one. You're going to see like the same 50% of the same people you saw at the last one. It's like, everything happens so organic. It's like, I don't even put pressure on any relationship, you know, and I like see people around, like see them around enough. I'm like, dude, whatever, we'll fucking talk eventually. It's like, you don't gotta like rush up to somebody and like pitch or whatever. It's like, dude, it's so small, you're just gonna be running into these people, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually have a relationship.
And there's really like, it just feels like to me, like coming to LA, not being from here, it just feels like there's endless opportunity. Like there's always someone to meet who knows someone else. Like, yeah, like you could really put in the time and like build your career here. It really, all it takes is putting in the time and a little bit of luck.
Yeah, that's it.
It's pretty crazy. Like LA, just like, I've only lived here like a little over a year now. And yeah, just being here, it's like opened my eyes to just like how fucking much shit's going on. And it's just like so many things and people just, I don't know. It's just, it's hectic. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's like you said, it's just like endless opportunities and there's just like always something to do or someone to talk to or somewhere to go or whatever, you know, like, so yeah, I could definitely see that. So like with the company, you have two sides to it, right? You have the subscription, then you have the online side.
Yeah.
So like what one is bigger? Like which one? Like
the subscription's like 2/3 of the business.
Got it.
So and the online head shop's like 1/3 of the business. With the subscription, we don't really make much money. It's like really to like get brands out there as like a marketing tool and like So we make most of our money on the online head shop.
And how's that been? Just like developing relationships with these brands, because every month you're working with these brands, putting them in your box, you know. It's like, it's kind of how we work here. It's like we work with so many brands that we just like create all these relationships, you know. Instead of just working with like 3 or 4 brands, we try to, you know, like not have crazy pricing for marketing and just work with like 100 brands, because then we have relationships with everybody. How's that been with you, just like cycling through different brands in your boxes?
Yeah, it's super cool. You meet like a lot of really great, like passionate people. You find a lot of cool products. Definitely have worked with a ton of brands and like built really good relationships with them. Some of the other subscription boxes will have like a lot of their own like in-house brands, which is like, makes sense from a business perspective a lot, but like we want to really like introduce people to new things every month. Like, so, like one thing was called the Lighter Pick we found, and they didn't even have a social media page yet. And we made a video of it and it got over 1 million views and we're just like, holy shit. Like, and then it seemed like all the kind of influencers were unboxing it, and it seemed like everyone kind of just knew what it was. And I thought that was really cool that we were able to like provide that success and like brand awareness to a new brand.
So what the fuck have you been up to the last 2 months, dude? I feel like every single like few days you're in a different city.
Yeah.
Like you're in San Francisco, you're in Texas, you're fucking, where are you, in New York? Like where you been?
No, yeah, it seems like I travel a lot, but I really don't leave LA that much. I went to Texas for a few days to speak at the Subta subscription conference. So that was really cool. And I went to San Francisco to kind of just explore and meet people in the cannabis industry out there. I met the guys from Exier and SF Roots, which was really cool. I just hadn't spent much time in the city. And other than that, I'm not sure where I spent like a weekend in Utah, like hiking. Definitely. Like, it's funny because I just like will like drive around LA a lot on the weekends and see cool shit. And there's like snow and desert and all kinds of stuff. And everyone thinks I'm like traveling the world. But like, I fucking almost never leave LA.
Yeah, it definitely seems like you take advantage of this shit. You're like going on hikes all the time. You're like really exploring, like going on like rooftops, checking out views and stuff. Like true stoner shit.
Yeah. There's a site called Atlas Obscura, and it tells you like all the weird shit that like you would never just like expect to be around. Like between two office buildings in Westwood is Marilyn Monroe's grave on Wilshire Boulevard. And it's just like all this crazy shit you wouldn't know about. Like rooftop views. And it's like, yeah, it's really easy to find really dope shit in LA.
There's a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, there's
a lot of people to meet.
Yeah.
So I have a question, like, with all the boxes and bongs you guys make, like, how involved are you in the design? Like, are you the one coming up with the concepts and the ideas and the designs, or do you have like a design team that feeds it to you and you pick, or like how involved are you with like the creative end of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty involved. It's basically like every design box brainstorming is like a group discussion, and we'll kind of just bounce ideas off each other and develop and mold ideas. Like a lot of them were directly mine. Some of them weren't directly mine. I don't actually do the 3D modeling, but there's a few like the 90s cup where I did the entire design myself. And like,
so it's kind of like a team brainstorm effort onto paper, then into a sample, then into like a final thing or whatever.
And it's gotta be like extremely fast turnaround because you're working with like monthly subscription. It's like doing a magazine, right? Like the lead time is you have like 1 week or less to figure out what the fuck you guys are going to do, get out like the orders and figure out how to get them in. And then, you know, right.
It's definitely felt like we're always behind for like years. And it's just like so much random shit happens. Like we were like the third boat back in the Suez Canal thing. And it's just like all our shit stuck on this fucking boat and it's not going to move for like an indefinite amount of time. And then it's like the month goes by and the subscription is like, everyone's got to get their shit because they got to get it every month. And like, then like all the other months are backed up from there. And like, yeah, we're like finally caught up from that. And now it's like the ports are backed up again. So it's always been a challenge. Like, yeah, coming up with a new design every month and making like 15,000 of them, 20,000 of them is very difficult.
How far out are you guys planning on? Like a year or like a couple months or month to month? Or like how far ahead?
We're trying to do a year now.
Yeah,
so
just like get it all mapped out.
Yeah, we have up to like May of next year.
Yeah, oh, nice.
To get all your collabs and all the kind of like people you want to work with and stuff like that, like dialed in.
Yeah.
So we actually did a collab with Harrison like before we even knew you.
Yeah, it was one of our first collabs.
5 years ago, 6 years ago or something like that. We did, I don't even remember. It was a lot. We did like fucking 10,000 lit hats or something. I remember we did a fuck ton of hats for you because my whole warehouse was just filled with hats.
Yeah.
And that was like right when lit, the fucking LIT, like, I don't know. It was like right when people were starting to like kind of say it again or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, those hats were going crazy for us. And I don't even know how we connected, but I remember we did like a whole unbox with like our hats and some stickers and like some other shit too.
Yeah.
It's like pretty funny. Full circle. Now we're chilling here smoking.
No. Yeah. I remember like I thought my, like I took like all the photos on the Instagram for like 3 years on an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like an iPhone 6. Like, and like, I remember like seeing your guys' photos and being like, oh, holy shit. There's like, that was the first time I saw photos. I was like, damn, wait, there's like way better cameras and like stuff out there. Like, yeah. It's like, they're so clear. Holy shit. You can like zoom in on stuff. And like, yeah.
So did you ever like, that's funny you said that, because like a lot of times obviously the iPhone organic stuff like performs better, but obviously like the higher quality stuff looks better. So there's obviously like strong value to both or whatever. Have you tried both ends, or have you always been more of an iPhone kind of, like, you know?
Yeah, the higher quality stuff just typically doesn't do as well.
Right, that's on our page. Sure.
It doesn't.
So,
yeah.
For other pages, like, if you're, like, a, like I don't know, Stizzy or something, like, your student, Stunning Glass, like, maybe the high-end stuff is, like, good for your demographic. But for us, like, people want relatable. They want it to look like we're, like, hey, like, we're just looking down with our phone and being like, this is fucking cool and we want to show it to you.
Yeah. I feel like all your, like, stuff that you've done through TikTok, you know, it's, like, super... it's just topical and just on and like whatever the fucking kids are doing, you know, like you guys have a TikTok account. You guys active on it?
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty active. Can I smoke this joint?
Yeah. That's for you, man. Oh, that's some Archangelus. So how is it on TikTok for you? Cause I know I see this shit that you repost on IG from TikTok, and it's definitely doesn't have bongs. It's just like the little like memes and video memes and shit. Like, how is that performing for you on TikTok?
It's performing really well, actually. It's because Instagram, like, the algorithm is just like fucking us right now.
Dude, like, it's fucked.
Only 2% of people who aren't following us see our shit. And on my personal page, it's 15%. So it's like we have to work 7.5 times harder to do anything, which absolutely sucks ass. Well, like, Justin Bieber can just post his shit. And that's a whole other thing.
Mackenzie just said her, she just posted, she got her link. Like, they don't do the swipe up anymore. It's like the link feature or whatever. But she just got her link privileges taken away for violating terms. So now she can't even do, like, promote shit to
Instagram
to direct
is
anywhere.
Such bullshit nowadays. Like, you really can't do anything. Like, it's like, I'm just like, oh, I just don't even care. I'm just like, we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want to do. Like, either way, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's just getting super frustrating. I think everybody's kind of in the same boat. Like,
there's just
the
nothing else.
Next platform going to be, or, you know, what's the next thing?
I mean, it's here. It's TikTok. Like,
You just can't do weed. So for all of us, it's like, fuck. Or you can't do a lot of shit on TikTok, right?
But I believe it just surpassed YouTube in watch time, like average watch time. So, like, it's a pretty big deal. And, like, it sucks because TikTok is even worse against weed.
They're even more strict. It's like instant fucking,
But, like... like, TikTok, you can, like, start with, like there's a brand called Not Pot, a CBD brand.
Oh, I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah, and they, on their first video, they got, like, 3 million views, 150,000 followers on their first video.
Crazy.
So it's, like, TikTok, it's, like, if you have good shit, it'll show it to everyone immediately.
So if I'm a cannabis media agency, let's say, and I want to start a TikTok account, what would I do? What would I post? If I can't post weed, like, what do I do?
You want to post about the culture and, like, the things, like... like, I'll just post, like, one of my more successful ones was, like, me being, like, super high and paranoid, which is, like, really relatable.
Or, like, shit skits about, like, or, like, funny kind of, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, weed without, it's weird because we're, like, marketing a product that we can't show or talk about.
Right.
But, like, people, like, start to get it. Like, but yeah, originally it was me running the TikTok, and then I, handed it over to this, I feel like I kind of, like, set the stage for, like, what to do and where to grow it. And then this guy Adrian took it over, and now he's surpassed me, and he's got tons of videos with millions of views. There's, like, you have to go with the trends. Like if there's a trending sound or something, you can, like, relate it to something relatable to stoners.
And it's like what's current, what's hot, what's trending, kind of like tapping into all that kind of stuff. And it's definitely, like, we've talked about it so many times, we definitely know we need to do it. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. Just got to figure out the right strategy for it, I guess, you know, like, figure out how to be subtle or work around it or whatever. Actually, Kimmy said she's starting to figure out TikTok. So I was like, perfect. You can fucking
run that shit up, Kimbo.
Skits on there or some shit. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Go dance. I don't know.
Pretty crazy. So, like, what about, did you guys, like, do a lot of, like, email marketing or anything like that?
Yeah. We have about 700,000 people on our email list.
Damn.
I'd say one of the biggest mistakes I made in the history of the business was, so I made this video that was a parody of the Dollar Shave Club video where I'm, like, walking through the warehouse, like, hitting a bong or whatever, and it got to the number one video on Reddit videos on 420.
Crazy.
And
how many views was it at?
It was at, like, 300,000 before we had to take it down.
Yeah.
But on Reddit, it had, like, millions to the page, but not everyone, like, clicked through to it.
Right.
But still, it was the number one video on Reddit on 420, which is, like, nothing more than I could ask for. And, so we had hundreds of thousands of people come to the site that day. And then the video got taken down and it fizzled out and I didn't collect emails.
So oh, and you got like, all that traffic.
And I got all this fucking traffic and it all just like pretty much went to waste except for like a few people who ordered that night. Yeah. Our sales were really good that night, but like it wasn't like insane. But like I could have like had hundreds of thousands of emails to convert later and I just completely missed the opportunity. So like always fucking collect emails like. Yeah,
data
important because people check their emails, and yeah, I heard texting's great. I haven't had time to set it up yet, but I heard SMS is really great too.
Yeah, that's something I've been looking into like a little bit. It's like building like a text community or whatever, and like just being more interactive yeah. and stuff like that. It makes you more accessible and stuff. No, yeah, that's interesting. So like, all right, now you sold the business. So do you want to like start another business? Do you want to just chill? Like, what do you see in like in the future?
Yeah, I don't completely know yet.
Yeah, you're just enjoying it.
We have to run it up with them for a couple years, right?
So yeah, how does that work? Are you
you're with them for like the next 2 years or something like that, isn't that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, like I'm not obligated to work there, but I want to like make sure it's in good hands. And yeah, I have a bunch of stock in the company, and I think that I can really like help grow it through social media and like awareness of the brands and help grow the brands. So I'm gonna stick around for a bit and make sure everything's in good hands, and then like one day I'm definitely gonna start something else. Or just like chill and travel for a bit, but it definitely hasn't felt like other than just like a few days on the weekend, like weekend trips, I've like really taken a break yet.
Yeah, like it probably hasn't even sunk in yet, right? Or has it?
No.
Like it's still, you haven't even like realized it yet,
right? No, like it's sunk in, but like selling it was so much harder than like I'd ever imagined. It was like three full-time jobs.
How was that process selling it? Was that like, how, like, was that like 6 months, a week, like with a lot of back and forth? Like, how, like, what was that? A lot of meetings?
Like, paperwork up the ass?
What's that?
Paperwork up the ass or what?
Yeah, like they have to audit like all of your shit and like have like professional, like I think it was like KPMG or Deloitte or something, like look through all of our stuff, which was completely unorganized. Like there's like literally no organization of most of it. Like our business license in California was actually suspended for like 2 years and I didn't even know.
But like, no idea.
Yeah. not my biggest strong suit, but we got it all figured out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But yeah, it was a really stressful process because there's just like a lot of shit going on and like not everyone in the company was for it because it is like kind of going corporate a bit. But like at the end of the day, it's like we need to either join these people or fight these people. And that's the reality of what cannabis is right now. And you can't ignore that.
Yeah. I feel like it's happening and it's going to continue to happen. It's just like the alliances and like strategic people partnering and whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's interesting.
And High Tide has been in the game for a while. Like they started with one head shop in Canada, like 20 years ago. Something like that. I don't know if it was 20 years ago, but like, yeah, they also started small. So it wasn't like they started as like a major corporation. So it seemed like the right company to align with.
So did you approach them or did they approach you? Like one day they just hit you up out of the blue, or was it something you were trying to like, you know, get in with them over, you know?
They hit me up. But I was like thinking about maybe selling it.
Yeah.
And I'd already been talking to some people who had like contacted me. And over the years, I've just built relations with investors, like kind of preparing for this. Like,
right.
So.
Dude, sick. So it was always a goal. The goal is like, let's fucking flip this.
It was either sell it or make it into a cannabis subscription.
Mm.
So, I mean, the goal was kind of more to make it into a cannabis subscription. But that's still kind of on the table. But it depends on like some laws changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's like slowly, like there's a couple of subscription boxes. It's like Nug Club and Ember. There's like a handful of people doing it. And it's like a little loophole. It's like they like take the payment in, but then they don't process the money. And then they send it to the third party, process it, and they ship it. So there's like all these like loopholes. And I think that's going to be like definitely something you're going to see a lot more of is like the subscription model.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And yeah, we can't fucking wait till you're able to do that. That you get to sell weed on the internet. Like that's going to be.
It's like always been an end game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'd be great. But we have to like stick to all the rules because we're like on NASDAQ and shit. So like, like we got to stick to every rule.
Right.
So, but that's kind of how we've gotten to where we are today by playing with the rules. So, cause everyone who didn't got deleted and went out of business.
Is that a lot of your competitors? They get deleted and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Like they literally just quit
straight up, get deleted, go out of business.
They just quit.
Yeah.
Just off IG.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's kind of like
there's one that got deleted off Facebook. They had like over 100,000 Facebook followers and were crushing it, and just got like super deleted. Like they had like 10 accounts and they deleted all the accounts, and like whenever they made new ones, they delete that too. And Facebook just like had this like hate boner against them and like purged them and like. But they were posting weed pretty early in the game. And then they just disappeared. It was their website like literally went down like maybe a month later, a couple months later actually. That was like a death blow to them. So that was fucking terrifying. Like that was so terrifying. Like I literally had nightmares about our shit getting deleted. Like
how many times have you guys been deleted?
Four?
And you got it back.
But like
time.
Three of them were like at the same time. It was like they deleted it and I peeled it and they brought it right back. And
did
then
you,
they
when you
it
appealed
again
it,
like,
did you do it the same way every time or did you do a different technique every time you got it back? Or was it the same shit every time?
I just kept appealing like all of the forms every day from as many emails as I could.
Yeah. That's more or less. Yeah. That's my advice is like just do it as many times as you can and give them different reasonings every time and just switch it up a little bit every time. Like, this is my only source of income. Like, this is how I pay my bills. This is the art page. This is creative. This is whatever you can think of. And like, I don't know, we've gotten a good amount of accounts back doing like that kind of strategy or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause I think our IG pages, maybe like our main ones, like once or twice have been deleted. Our agency page, I think is like at 5 now.
Yeah.
Our YouTube got deleted. Shit. Like, dude, yeah. So we've been through the ringer with all the deletions for sure.
But it's fucking crazy because like we were just like when we got deleted at the time, now we have like 35 to 40 people, but we probably had like 25, 30 people. And I just kept putting the messages like all these people are going to lose their fucking jobs. Like this is before the like, we were big on SEO. Like, please, like I'm like begging you, like everyone's job really depends on this. And eventually we got them all back, but we had like really fight a lot the last time. It took a while. But it's just like fucking crazy. They can like really fuck up people's lives because they like, I don't know if they just don't care or like they don't make policies for it. Like
it's just, that's the thing. It's not fucking black and white.
Yeah.
Like, it's so gray. It's just like, there's no like defined thing of what you can and can't do. And like, that's the biggest problem. I feel like it's like,
and you can't talk to a person.
Rules. You know what I mean? Like
you can't talk to a person ever.
That too.
You
it's
know?
All automated.
Like it's just these forms and shit.
I actually just got this thing that came up, I think today. Let me see if it's still there. It was like, it just like offered me to talk to someone at Instagram on my homepage.
No way.
Yeah, it's still there. It's like open creator support. Or maybe it's not talking to someone. Yeah, get real-time support from our team. Like, so that just came up today. So maybe they're changing things.
Yeah, that's
tight.
Yeah. Good sign.
Yeah.
So what was it like getting verified?
It was fucking terrible. Like, it took so long. It took like 2.5 years. Of
really?
Just like really putting our name out there and getting press. And like, it didn't really happen like, we didn't really do it through like one of those services where you pay like $99 and get the fucking check. Like we really like got the press we needed to get verified and earned it. And it was just like, that's why it took so long, but it's just like applying time after time after time and just keep getting denied over and over and over. It was like sucked. So, but eventually we got it. But, I heard it's even harder. Because like the people who like helped us with press and were helping marketing and advise for us when we got it said that now like it would be much harder for like all of our other brands and stuff, even though we all do the same thing and are part of the same company. So like it's kind of shitty that it's getting harder too. So
it seems like they've been cracking down the last few months even crazier when it's like we're getting closer to federal legalization. It's like pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of the handful of cannabis brands that has a check, right? Like who has a check? Like Cookies, you guys, probably Raw.
Stizzy had a check and they're down.
And they got deleted as a motherfucker. Down. Yeah.
So like, I don't even know if the check saves you. Like maybe it doesn't. It seems like it doesn't do shit when you have it. Like I don't have like a separate menu to do anything or like.
It just like gets you to like the top of the comments or gets you like if you DM somebody, I think it goes directly into their DMs instead of going to the.
Probably, yeah.
I think, you know what I mean? It goes to like the top of their DMs or something like that. Just makes it easier to communicate. You have like the clout to communicate, basically. Yeah. but yeah, we'll never get one.
I don't think they'll ever.
We'll never get one of those.
Yeah. They won't give me one so far. So yeah. It's like weird that they give it to the thing.
You should try now that you fucking got the acquisition, because there's an article for that, right?
Yeah, no, I still tried.
Shit, we'll write all the articles, dude. Let's go.
For real.
But it's also because, like, if you Google Hi CEO, like, my name doesn't really come up for anything. So it's about, like, when they verify you, I'm pretty sure what they do is
they search you or
they
some
literally
shit.
Just type you into Google. And if it's
see
like
what comes up.
You come up and you look legit because you have a Wikipedia or Google Knowledge Panel, like, then you'll get it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
We're like top news outlets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
All right, we'll write one. Like, yeah. Give this man a check.
Yeah, for real.
Give Hi CEO a check.
Cut the check.
Cut the check.
Chase yeah. the check.
Hell yeah. Well, fuck.
All right. We're at like 50 minutes. That's pretty legit. Yeah,
that's a lot of a lot of information there. Yeah. That's good. Yeah,
for
that's
real, dope, if you guys are interested in.
Crazy. Interesting story. Fucking killing it. Super dope. Fucking stoked to see what you do next.
Yeah. No, thank you.
And yeah, we'll be doing some work with you soon now, right? I think we're going to start doing some content with Harrison here. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Tell the people that. Where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Hi CEO, the Hi CEO YouTube channel, which I'm going to be trying to work on soon, hopefully. I'm on TikTok. I'm on all the stuff. I'm doing the thing. I'm in LA. I'm fucking got
it's
all the
everywhere,
social media.
Baby.
Living the check dream, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can check out Daily High Club and Canna Cabana, our chain of dispensaries in Canada. And yeah, there's like a bunch of other brands too. I'm pretty stoned, but there's a bunch. You should check them out.
You'll see it. We'll post it all over our shit. Yeah, Harrison, you're the man. Thanks for coming. Catch us next week. We out.
Peace.
You guys.
Hell yeah, let's fuck it.
Dropping all the gems.